Radio Prague News.
The population of the Czech Republic fell slightly in the first half of this year, according to official figures. The Civic Democrats say they will focus on young voters ahead of next month's elections. And Tomáš Rosický says he may quit international soccer following the Czech Republic's failure to reach the World Cup. The population of the Czech Republic fell slightly in the first half of this year, according to official figures released on Wednesday. There were 10,512,900 people living in the country at the end of June, just over 3,000 fewer than at the end of 2012. The population of the capital Prague had also dropped marginally to 1,246,176 at the end of the first half of the year. If elected, the Civic Democrats will help the under-30s to buy their first home and make it easier for them to start their own business, party leaders said at the official launch of their manifesto on Wednesday. Acting leader Martin Kuba also said that they would focus on middle-class voters and described the Civic Democrats as the only authentic right-wing party. They had been the dominant party on the right in the Czech Republic for two decades, but have slipped behind top 09 in the opinion polls. Elections are scheduled for the last weekend of October. The Jihlava International Documentary Film Festival is having financial problems and has had to apply for emergency funding, the news website Lidovky.cz reported on Wednesday. The festival has applied for grants of 1 million crowns from the Jihlava region and the city of Jihlava, where it's one of the biggest cultural events of the year. If it doesn't receive the money, it will have to make cuts to its program, festival director Marek Havorka said. A Sumatran tiger has been born at Prague Zoo, according to a statement issued by the zoo on Wednesday. The cub, which was born at the end of July, is doing well, officials said. Members of the public will be able to get their first glimpse of the animal when it's placed in a tiger run in November. Renovation work on the zoo's Big Cats Pavilion, which was damaged by flooding in June, was postponed because of the birth. An exhibition focused on the Kralice Bible, the first complete Czech language translation of the book, has begun at the National Library's Clementinum building in Prague. The show is timed to coincide with the 400th anniversary of the last publication of the Kralice Bible prior to the Battle of White Mountain. It includes earlier translations of the Bible in Czech and valuable documents that have not previously been displayed publicly. The captain of the Czech Republic, Tomáš Rosický, has said he will consider retiring from international soccer following the team's failure to reach the 2014 World Cup. The midfielder, who is 32, was forced off with injury in the first half of a 2-1 defeat to Italy in Turin that made it virtually impossible for the Czechs to take second place in their group and a possible berth in the playoffs for Brazil. Manager Michal Bílek stood down in the wake of the defeat. The weather, it should be fair with some rain in the coming days. Temperatures are expected to reach up to 19 degrees Celsius. You'll find more stories on our website, but for now, from me, Ian Willoughby, that's the end of the news.
You're listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech Radio. My name is Jan Richter. In our program today, the Czech government unveils a strategy to tackle the growing problem of homelessness. Then, the Czech national football team has lost nearly all hope of reaching the World Cup in Brazil. And later in this edition of Marketplace, we talk to Michaela Jorgensen, who runs a boutique butcher's in Prague's new town.
We buy only entire animals, and then it's our job to be able to sell every single piece of it.
All that coming your way, so please stay with us. The Czech Labour and Social Affairs Minister, František Koníček, on Tuesday unveiled the mainstays of a national strategy for preventing and tackling homelessness in the Czech Republic. The plan involves both effective prevention and assistance, such as social housing, better access to medical care, and improved social services. Daniela Lazarová has the story.
After years of merely responding to crisis situations, the Czech authorities are finally ready to address the problems of homelessness in a comprehensive manner. With the number of homeless having reached an estimated 30,000 and another 100,000 people at risk, the government has outlined a strategy to help them survive and gradually reintegrate in society. At a press briefing in Prague on Tuesday, Minister Koníček outlined the main tasks ahead.
Firstly, and most importantly, we need to provide social housing. The fact that the Czech Republic has no social housing is a big problem, so we need to establish affordable housing as a stepping stone for those who have already lost their homes, and we need to help those at risk of losing them before it is too late. In this respect, we will need more support from local town halls. We will need better coordinated social services where social workers will be alerted to individuals or families with social problems and be able to offer them assistance and advice so they do not end up on the street. And finally, we need to provide the homeless with access to medical care before they develop serious chronic health problems or before it's too late.
In addition to the Housing First concept, improved social services and better access to medical care, the strategy emphasizes the need to focus on prevention by helping families and individuals in financial straits, even if it means scrapping their debts and helping them to start anew with a better fiscal discipline. Ilya Hradecký, the former head of the NGO Nadeje, who has years of experience of working with the homeless, says Austria's prevention strategy has paid off and is an example worth following.
We know that if you spend a year on the street, you need 3 years of support to be able to return to a normal life. Social workers in Vienna have found that it is 7 times cheaper to help a person stay in their home, even if it involves scrapping their debts, sponsoring them or giving them a loan, than if that person ends up on the street.
According to statistics, the people at highest risk of homelessness are young people just out of institutionalized care, handicapped people, single mothers, and people over 65 are those who have lost their jobs shortly before reaching retirement age. Pavlava Belaková of the Czech Salvation Army, which helped to draft the strategy, has welcomed it as a milestone in the NGO's work.
I think what it's important that this is really the first national strategy on dealing with homeless people, because there was nothing like that before in the Czech Republic. What is important also that homelessness is described as a process, that it's not happening from day to day, but it's really a process and many different things leading to homelessness. And that homelessness, it's not just the people that we are every day seeing on the streets, but it's people that are not living in a good enough housing or are in the hostels or commercial accommodation. They are threatened by the homelessness, and any day they can lose the accommodation or the roof over their heads that they have at the moment.
Do you feel that this strategy could significantly change your work for the better?
We do hope so. We do hope so. Of course, the national strategy, you know, as it's written, it's brilliant and it has a great potential. Now what will be important to implement the individual steps so we get to where we want to be. Of course, it's going to take years. It can have ambition that the homelessness will be tackled and it will be solved. But there are the steps described which can really support this area and can make a big difference also in the Czech Republic.
Pavla Vobelákova of the Czech Salvation Army, ending that report by Daniela Lazarová. Moving on to football now. On Tuesday night, the Czech national team faced Italy in Turin, a final chance to try and keep World Cup dreams alive. For part of the match, it appeared the squad was on the right track, taking the lead in the 19th minute. Italy, however, soon struck back. Jan Wellinger has the details.
The Czech team's bid for the 2014 World Cup was arguably lost long before Tuesday's match. As fans on the internet as well as commentators noted, earlier losses to Denmark and most recently to Armenia in qualification only have left the Czechs an outside opportunity. Still, the Czech squad on Tuesday came in fighting and got off to a good start, a much-needed early lead.
In the 19th minute, the Czechs Kozák received a perfect cross from Jiráček and struck an unstoppable half-volley past legendary goalie Gianluigi Buffon. It was 1-0, and the Czechs were exactly where they needed to be. Only it wouldn't last. Before halftime, the squad lost its captain and key playmaker Tomáš Rosický to injury, and early into the second half, things fell apart even more within the space of just 3 minutes. First, goalie Petr Čech, who had been excellent, misread a corner, allowing Italy's Cellini to convert. Soon afterwards, Theodore Gebrselassie brought down Mario Balotelli in the box. He went on to score the penalty. 2-1 was the score, and that was how it remained. The loss to the Azzurri put the 2014 World Cup firmly out of the Czechs' reach, and coach Michal Bílek, under immense pressure, announced his resignation almost immediately. It was accepted just as quickly by the chairman of the Czech FA. After the match, here's what Michal Bílek had to say.
As I said before, I intended to stay on as long as there was a theoretical chance we could advance. But I knew ahead of today's match that if we lost, I would hand in my resignation.
Strictly according to the numbers, a micro-thin sliver of a chance remains that the Czechs could still advance, but it lies firmly in the realm of science fiction. The odds are astronomical, depending not only on the Czechs winning their last two matches, but also, and here's the clincher, seeing favorable results in 7 matches across groups B and E. So for all practical purposes, the Czech bid is dead and buried. Former coach Michal Bílek again.
I think there is no longer any chance. It was my view that we needed to win at least one of the last two games, and that did not happen.
One of the team's assistant managers is now expected to take over before the difficult search for a new candidate begins. With the Czechs absent next year, many will also be wondering whether the national squad will be able to rebound any time in the near future. One question is whether Tomáš Rosický, one of the Czech squad's few true stars but whose career has been dimmed by repeated injury, will stay on or call it quits. Even should he remain, Czech dailies have remarked there's only so much the talented captain can do by himself. At the moment, it appears that nothing but tough times are ahead for the Czech national team.
Thank you, Jan Wallinger. You're tuned to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech Radio. Along with Czech tourism, Radio Prague has launched a competition called My Czech Story. Share your Czech experience with us and win a trip to Prague for two. All you have to do is post a photograph which tells your Czech story. It can be a snapshot from your last visit to Prague, your favorite Czech product, or a Czech cafe in your neighborhood. Anything that relates to the culture, history, or spirit of the Czech Republic. Fill in your name, email, title, and brief description of the picture and post it to our website, radio.cz, no later than the 30th of September 2013. The winner will get a 3-day trip to Prague for two, including the cost of plane tickets. 9 runners-up will receive smaller gifts. But now it's time for a new edition of Marketplace. A butcher chopping pork for customers of Prague's boutique butcher called the Real Meat Society. Since its establishment last year, the small shop has become a popular stop for carnivores looking for meat from happy animals. With only 3 employees, the butchers each week sells 1 cow, some 5 pigs and 2 lambs, processed from nose to tail, a concept that seems to have been long forgotten by most Czech butchers. I sit down with one of the Real Meat Society's founders, Michala Jorgensen, and ask her about the shop's philosophy.
When we talk about real meat, we believe that the meat should be from animals that live the life that every animal deserves. So that means like being outside, living, growing up with its family, being with a mother, so not being able to be fed on her milk as long as possible, so therefore building up their own immune system. And just and then, of course, slaughtering the animal in the most human way possible and then caring for the meat. So that means, you know, hanging it, getting it to the right tenderness and then using it as much as possible, that therefore, like, possibly without throwing away anything. So that's the art of being able to present every single little piece in the right way and showing that it's tasty. So that why we wanted to call it the Real Meat Society, somehow the society of the also love for the real meat and respect for the real meat.
Your website says you're the best butchers in Bohemia, I think. So is this the main difference between your store and the regular Czech butchers?
I don't think we want to say like we are the best, like we are, you know, trying to like compete with the others. But what we want to say is that we believe we are the only one that really respect the whole animal butchery, which in few words means something very simple, but which is not applied very often lately. And that is that we buy from our farmers the entire animal, and we buy only entire animals. And then it's our job to be able to sell every single piece of it. So we are not trying to explain our customers that there is only that many steaks and there is only that many cutlets or whatever. So what we pride ourselves for is that we work only with farmers that have free-range animals. Most of them are also biofarms. But for us, what is very important is the life of the animal, that it has not been a rushed growth. And then that when we hang the meat, and this is our major know-how, and I think we are the only place where you can buy a steak that has been dry hanged for 9 weeks, and that even our pigs are hanged, and then it's just you can have really animals that have been left for and that have been also respected after the slaughter, and I think this is where we are good.
I have to say the steak that we looking at right now, the 9 week treated steak looks very interesting, and I'm sure it's delicious. But isn't the concept of whole animal butchery sort of familiar in the Czech Republic? Because many people in the countryside do these home pig killings, and they do process the entire animal. Do you think the concept is new to Czechs?
I don't think the concept is new to, I would say, anyone, but because that's the way it used to be. This is the way how it was before the big plants, because before the huge corporations, took over and kind of like you have hundreds or where you have slaughterhouses where hundreds and thousands of animals are being slaughtered every day, and where, the prime parts go here and other parts go there. But it is true that for most shops, people are confident to cook only some parts of meat, and therefore a lot of shops are forced to stock only some parts because those parts sell better. But whole animal butchery is something that comes from the past, and that's how it used to be when there was more respect for the animal, where there was a more maybe scarcity of the meat or supplier, or where I would say simply where people just had more respect for the meat.
You mentioned your sources, the farmers you work with. How do you look for them, and are there many? Is the offer big in the Czech Republic of what you're looking for?
Well, I would say that there are more and more. I mean, we have it was pretty hard to start, but I think there are more and more farmers that are finding a joy in growing happy animals, or having the animals that are outside and seeing the extra thing. But what we find very hard is that maybe you can find a very dedicated farmer and a beautiful animal, but what is sometimes very hard is to work with the local slaughterhouses, because at least I would say it for myself, I still believe that there is many butchers in the slaughterhouses which don't have a respect for the animal. And sometimes we have seen, we see animals being butchered and just cut in a very random way and just without care. And that is still a very, very upsetting.
What about the other end of the business chain, your customers? Is there a typical customer who comes to your store to get the real meat?
Well, our customers are incredible. It's like we really have the luxury of having an incredible crowd of people coming to the shop, because I would say that all the people that we have here and that they're coming here, it's you can see there are people that are excited about cooking, people that, want to know where they're food comes from. They are very educated, they are they are really positive, and they are always excited in trying new things, and it's very funny because I'm Czech, and when we were opening, I just had all the negative opinions about how everything is going to go wrong, how no one is going to come, how we should not even open it, and how especially the Czechs will not be coming. And I very proud to say that majority of our clients are Czech, and most of them, I would say all of them, are extremely educated as far as meat and single cuts and how you can prepare it. And I personally believe that from the experience from the shop, that when you show and when you educate people to, you know, to what you can be used and to different cuts and everything, that I would say that the Czechs especially are the ones that love to experiment and, you know, love to do things that are different. They are not at all stubborn.
Is this, do you think, a sustainable business model? Because the Czech economy, as far as we know, might have just started recovering from the longest recession ever, but the real wages are still dropping, people not doing that well, the unemployment is the highest it's ever been, really. Do you think that people will learn how to appreciate good quality meat at a higher price rather than going to the supermarkets buying the cheapest stuff available?
I think that there will be always people that would want to eat cheap food and without, you know, caring where it comes from or how, you know, what the animals had been injected with or how it was processed or, you know, that's, and those people, I mean, the, you know, it would be nice if they realize that it's not sustainable, this kind of meat production. But, you know, there's always going to be people that are going to like the very cheap food. And but I believe that, you know, it's, I just believe that people start to think about, you know, their lifestyles and about how they live and maybe why, you know, there are all kinds of, like, serious illnesses that are somehow connected to the guts or to the stomachs or whatever, to what or to what we eat. So I think that people are, and I see it, that people are into picking more what they eat, and you know, and they're definitely willing to, you know, pay more if they know that the quality is good. And as far as, you know, as far as meat, we always say the key to having more good meat is to eating less meat, because we cannot be eating. I know a lot of Czech people that cannot imagine their meal without a piece of meat on the plate, and that's wrong, because, you know, we haven't lived like that. I remember from a childhood we haven't had meat all the time. So we had a, you know, chicken on Sunday, which was a great feast, and now people treat the chicken as the cheapest piece of meat, and it's all wrong, and it's completely wrong. So I think we should educate ourselves to understanding why of the better meat. We should educate our kids to see how the animals should live. You know, there's a lot of children that have never seen a pig, or they have not, you know, they don't see animals because they're not outside, because everything is locked up here, which is also strange. So, and also, another thing is, if there is more good butchers, there is more good farms, and there is more, you know, if there is more good butchers on the small villages, then there is going to be more farmers trying to grow good meat, there will be more smaller, you know, butcher, more places to buy, the prices will go down. And I think it's a very sustainable model. I think it's good for, you know, for lifting up economy in our villages. I think for, you know, it's for lifting our lifestyles, our health. So I believe very much in it. I think that food in general is the, you know, it's what they say, the food is what we are getting aware of, and I think that's the economy of the, you know, next few years. That's what's going to push the economy.
Do you have any plans for expanding your business either in Prague or other parts of the country?
Well, you know, we would like, but it's very difficult because, you know, we are very linked to our farmers, and then it's very hard for us to, no, it's hard, but we're very careful in, you know, starting to work with new farmers and new people, because we need to really trust to who we work with. So it takes a while before we can, you know, get bigger production. And number one. And number two is the absolute lack of butchers. It's unbelievable, but, you know, young people go study some, you know, I don't know, I don't want to now offend anyone, but they go study some absurd, you know.
President Zeman said cultural anthropology, I think, as an example of this.
Yeah, it's just, it's like, you know, why there is not more skilled craftspeople? I mean, this is unbelievable. So, you know, there will be more butchers, if there will be more good butchers, there will be, you know, we would be opening more, definitely. So yes, that's we would like to, but it depends on a lot of factors, and a skilled butcher is very difficult to find in this country.
I was talking there to Michaela Jorgensen from Prague's butchers called the Real Meat Society. That edition of Marketplace brings us to the end of our program today. If you have any comments or questions for us, you can easily get in touch. Contact us at email at english@radio.cz or by post to Vinohradská 12, 12099 Prague 2, the Czech Republic. But for now, from me, Jan Richter, and all of us here at Radio Prague, thank you very much for joining us, and goodbye.